Hello and welcome to our podcast on HR careers with me, Zoraida Curtis. A recent expert HR survey looked at how HR professionals begin, manage and progress their careers. The survey looked at why HR professionals select HR as a career option and what are the factors that help or prevent them from advancing in their careers. Joining me on the phone today to discuss the findings of our survey and HR careers in general is Brad Taylor, Head of People at the CIPD.
Hello, Zoraida.
According to the expert HR survey, people enter the profession for a variety of reasons, such as an interest in work, wanting to work with people, and sometimes even by chance. What has been your experience of why people choose a career in HR?
I think it is for many reasons. I think there are people who certainly set out from the outset and say, well, actually, that's the type of profession that I want to be in, and I want to be involved in something that involves working with people. And then others, such as myself, would find it more along the way of their career journey.
A bit about yourself then, Brad. I mean, how did you get into HR and what was your career path?
Okay, well, I started out in banking, funnily enough. So I was working for a retail bank, and I worked with a retail bank for about 18 years. And in that time, I covered a sort of range of roles from branch banking, working at a regional head office, and then moving into the high net worth area of the bank. And one of the roles that I had along the way was managing a support team, one of the largest support teams at this particular aspect of the bank had in the UK. During that time, we were asked to pilot a change program. So that gave me my first real experience of both large-scale team management, managing change and taking people through a change program, and also a focus on how we were measuring performance of those people. And I always enjoyed that particular aspect. It was challenging, but I enjoyed it. And later on, after about 11 years, I had the opportunity to apply for a position internally in human resources. So I made the switch from the retail banking side into HR. And from there, I had a number of roles, from HR advisor within the international banking division. I had opportunity to work with our resourcing and learning, delivering resourcing events and learning interventions to our staff. And then latterly into employee relations, where I gained a lot of exposure in how we were advising the bank on ER matters. After about 18 years in the bank, I moved on and entered the world of professional bodies as an HR business partner, and then progressed to head of HR and then director of HR.
Well, that's certainly quite an impressive journey, Brad. Are there any particular things that HR professionals identify as important to career advancement then?
First of all, the ability to be able to take an organisational view, to understand how the business works, the various dynamics of the business, and then being able to relate people solutions and interventions and advice to managers and business leaders to be able to help the organisation achieve its strategic aspirations. It's often very helpful if you've had the opportunity to work outside the professions for a while as well, so that you get to see the dynamics and the challenges that people manage, line managers, people managers and business leaders are facing, in addition to all the range of people management issues that they have to deal with. And I think the ability to be able to relate that and have experience of that is particularly helpful.
And what would you say were the barriers to career advancement?
Certainly not staying up to date with the latest research and the latest thinking around human resources and people development. At the CIPD, we encourage people very much to be evidence-based as much as possible, so that the proposals and the interventions that an HR professional is recommending to a business leader is based on the latest thinking and latest research and evidence that shows what particular types of interventions work well and what doesn't. Avoiding the belief that you can progress through your career just by being a people person and relying on instincts, I don't think is enough in this day and age. The world of work is changing so much that HR professionals need to be aware of what the latest thinking is in these areas. So grasping the wider organisational issues, staying in touch with the wider organisational issues, and then being up to date with the latest research.
One of the striking results of the survey that we undertook was that 4/5 of the survey respondents were female. And this is not a definitive reflection of the composition of the HR profession. There does appear to be a gender imbalance. Why do you think this is?
Yes, in fact, the figures you have are very representative of what we see in our own membership figures. So I don't think there's any doubt that there is an imbalance at the moment of gender in the HR profession. We're not the only profession that has that problem by any means. And, you know, there's a number of professions that have that. But we are the profession that's championing better work and working lives, inclusion, diversity. So therefore, we would like to see more inclusive workplaces for everyone. And certainly HR and people development should be seen as a profession that's more equal in that regard. So we need to be better at role modelling the things that we believe in. If we think about CIPD, for example, we started out as the Welfare Workers Association, focusing mainly on working conditions for female employees in UK factories. Back in those days, it wasn't surprising that many of the people working in the profession were female, but we've moved on so much since that time. I think the challenge for us is getting rid of assumption that HR is all about empathy and things that have been typically pigeonholed as female skills in the past. This is more more about removing gender stereotypes throughout our careers and childhood, and actually opening up the profession to both men and women to play an equal role in that.
And one of the positive findings of the survey was that UK HR professionals appear to be confident about their career prospects. It seems that businesses are placing a higher value on HR and people analytics. I mean, how do you view HR career prospects over the next 10 years?
This is a really exciting time to be in the HR profession. The world of work is changing so rapidly these days that businesses are realising that to be successful, it's not just about the numbers, the financials. It's how do we enable people to be as effective as possible in their working lives. In a world of work where home life and work lives are more blended more than ever, HR has a role to be able to say, look, we understand people, we understand these sort of dynamics, and we can help business leaders think through these challenges, looking at the range of different age groups that are now entering the workplace, what their different hopes and aspirations are from work, working more collaboratively with colleagues in workplace and IT to really bring a more holistic view to the world of work and how to make that effective. And a lot of the things that we talk about at CIPD is that, you know, the future of work needs to be human in a world that's becoming increasingly automated. What differentiates great businesses people. So the next 10 years, I think we'll have a focus on how the HR profession is working with business leaders to build more resilient and flexible workforces within their organisations, helping to bring insights on people and capabilities and behaviours that don't just report about what's happened in the past, but enabling businesses to make trickier and trickier decisions that affect the future of their organisations and their economies, so that there's this greater insight into what could we do, what are we capable of doing. HR's role is right at the heart of that.
And I suppose the big question on a lot of people's minds at the moment is Brexit. Do you think that Brexit will have any impact on the HR profession?
Absolutely. We're already seeing the impacts on the HR profession. I think since the outcome of the vote, there's been a huge demand on HR to help people who are not just directly impacted, so European people working in the UK who are wondering what this means for themselves, but also their colleagues who are trying to grapple with this and understand, well, what does this mean for, you know, the colleagues at work here? How do we best support them? Businesses potentially face a loss of access to skills in the labour market in the future, particularly while we go through this uncertain time of not being clear what the final outcome of Brexit will be for businesses in the UK. Organisations are trying to grapple with this. How do we get the right employee value proposition correct? How do we retain talent? How will we attract talent in the future? What sort of plans do we need to be making now about our workforces? Some organisations are even considering whether we need to vacate the UK or not. And HR has a role to play there as well in terms of, well, if that happens, you know, how would the organisation look in the future? And if it's going to be based somewhere else, how is it going to transfer or attract and retain the talent it needs to maintain business as usual? Huge opportunities are arising from it, but huge challenges as well.
I mean, that certainly sounds like a very exciting time for HR in the years to come. What is the best advice that you could give to someone who wishes to have a successful HR career?
Focus on the systems and frameworks that make for more effective work environments, rather than addressing the symptoms of business issues. I think in the past, you know, there may have been tendencies for people in HR to feel that they have to overfunction or undertake the roles of the line manager for them. That's changing. More responsibilities are being placed in the realm of the line manager, and HR needs to be focusing on, do we have the right systems and frameworks in place that's enabling those managers and those people to be as effective as possible? And if there are issues, how are we thinking about those frameworks and those systems? And what are we doing to help the business move through those? I think being balanced. So consider all of the stakeholders that the organisation has, and how are you acting in the best interest of all of those stakeholders. So it's about having perspective, and very importantly, it's about listening to what you're hearing. And in listening, I would say also the ability to welcome challenge. So even in the most difficult times, being open to listening to someone explain why you might be wrong, or allowing various people to share their different views or concerns about a situation, that generates trust, and it opens the door for wider conversations, and then for HR to be able to move with those people and really help the organisation, its people, move through those challenges to the goal of achieving better work and working life.
Well, thank you, Brad. That was certainly a very interesting insight. You can find lots of resources on this topic on our website, including the complete data for the Expert HR survey under the benchmarking section. That brings us to the end of the podcast, which you've been listening to with me, Zoraida Curtis. Until the next time, it's goodbye from us.